Welcome back to this week's installment of Expand Your Mind and Be Kind. Thanks for joining Ryan and I on our adventure, and I hope everyone enjoys our episode. Thank you.
Today's quote is from Elizabeth Edwards. Resilience is accepting your new reality, even if it's less good than the one you had before. You can fight it, you can do nothing but scream about what you've lost, or you can accept that and try to put together something that's good.
Hello, Ryan.
Hello, Jim. An almost happy new year.
What a year 2020 has been.
I feel immense amounts of regret for any joke that I made about optometry in this year.
What? We can't see clearer, Ryan?
Yeah. Well, in some ways, maybe.
You know what they say, hindsight is
2020. Oh. Yikes.
Yeah. Well, I think this week's episode, we are going to do a little farewell to this glorious and wonderful year.
Yeah.
Talk about
some sort of a positive spin on it.
Right. Talk about the good things that happened. The good things that happened in our lives personally too.
Yeah. So Jim, what do you, other than the obvious,
what's the obvious, Ryan? What happened?
Oh, I was going to say that Desperate Housewives was renewed for another season.
Oh, yeah. This is actually like...
I don't think that's true.
I think that's fake news. But I guess for me personally, I have a lot to be thankful for in the year 2020. Yeah. I am officially a licensed RNBSN, and
boom,
I'm very
baby.
Thankful to have found the nursing career, and feel thankful that I made some really good friends in nursing school as well. Some really good people that helped support me through my adventure.
Takes and a village to be able does. To pursue an endeavor like that.
And I think I grew in good ways as a person in 2020, even though I had a lot of things that you would think it would cause the opposite to happen, I think.
What do you think is something that you learned about yourself or about the profession of nursing or just in general that you are thankful to have learned?
Well, I think, especially in the nursing world, like in my clinicals and in my internship, trying to make the best out of any seemingly poor situation goes so much farther than you think it will. For me, I feel like I've grown a lot as a person, because I'm naturally, I know I may not seem like it, but I'm naturally very much a pessimist. And I think this year allowed me to dig into my inner optimist in a lot of things. And I think I am making steps in my life personally to being more of an optimist about myself.
What do you
fighting
think
against my grain
triggered that or catalyzed that?
The pandemic is the obvious culprit. But also like my relationship with my family, And friends, I've learned to really appreciate the good things about myself. And I don't know. I have a much personally, this is just talking me personally. Like I feel more uplifted and ready to do good things, even though I feel like it should be the opposite, but I don't know. It's the way it worked out.
We are very resilient species, that is for sure.
Yes. Yes, we are. And by species, Ryan and I want to both divulge in this last day of 2020 the fact that we are actually an alien species, not of this earth.
Lirk, lirk.
Blark, blark, bark. Gurp, gork. But how about you, Ryan? What things personally have changed? What about this year has kind of changed your outlook on things?
I think overall, for me personally, I've been thinking of things from a more, I feel like within the past, I don't know, well, my whole life, I feel like I've been pretty grateful and thankful for things. Mm-hmm. But I think the amount of abundance that I have in my life has been more, like even more prevalent or present with the amount of misfortune that other people have had throughout this year. And so, like, I haven't been able to do things that I've wanted to do out of caution for getting COVID or spreading it to others, but I have donated some money and have tried to be an active voice in and things that I feel will be beneficial for our country. I joined a group called Braver Angels, which is this group where it's kind of committed to, you're not really arbitrating, but you're trying to more like moderate debates between people that hold different viewpoints. So like conservatives and liberals, and that's definitely helped me a little bit as far as understanding that there is such a thing as rational, reasonable conversation between two people that hold extremely polarized ideas about mm-hmm. stuff. And then also just being thankful that I have a job and thankful that I have a place to live and food and all that kind of stuff. I think that's even more present. And then also to be thankful for the people in my life that have been healthy and have stayed safe throughout this year. It seems like such a small thing, but it's very important to me because at the end of the day, you can have as many material possessions as you want, but the things mm-hmm. that really matter in your life are your relationships with other people. So, it's been a hard year, but I think those are a few things. One other thing that I realized, I think, about myself that I didn't know before is I've really developed and really grown a passion for writing that I didn't know that I had, which is, I mean, I knew that I enjoyed writing, but I didn't know I enjoyed it as much as I have.
Mm-hmm.
I did a writing project this year it's been a really developmental experience for me. So, yeah, that's kind of the big picture look at some of the things.
I think this year has been hard on a lot of people and definitely some much more than others, because, you know, I think you and I feel very fortunate that we don't have immediate family members that have passed from COVID-19. But there are many who have lost sure. family members, and several in certain families. And as a whole, not just as like a nation, but as a world, like, there's a lot that could have given us an excuse to be kind of devolve into a worse world, you know, like people turning against each other, nations turning against each other. But on the whole, I think for all of our losses and our grief, which will continue into 2021, unfortunately, but that's the reality. We have a lot of grieving to do as a world as this is ending, or hopefully drawing to a close. I think that we're a better world.
Yeah.
Now than we were at the beginning. And I think we have an opportunity to kind of, not just personally, but as a species, kind of move forward on a good foot in a better direction. I know you and I were talking earlier about something kind of like that, and it's exciting to see what we do, where we go.
What do you think is one of the more important things to focus on as we go into 2021 from an interpersonal standpoint?
I mean, continuing what we've been doing now. I mean, I think the biggest mistake we can make, especially in our country, specifically because we are very much a hot zone, is to allow the vaccine to kind of be this savior, this fix, you know, this quick fix for the virus, when all it's really doing is it's a step in the right direction to eventually reach herd immunity, which may be very difficult to attain depending on, you know, how much resistance to vaccinations there is. But I think it's important that we remain vigilant and mindful, both personally and as a community, that this thing is not over. It's continually mutating, but it can be tamed and it can be maybe eventually defeated, but we need to stay united. The less divisions we have, the better.
Yeah.
Were you thinking that kind of answer your question, or
I guess I wasn't really thinking of any particular way or particular direction for it. I think I was more just curious about, in general, how we treat each other and those different kinds of things, like what that looks like. But I think that was a good answer for definitely a thing to keep in mind for next year is like, even though there's a lot of fatigue around COVID and social distancing, the way that we're living as a society right now, or at least the way that we're encouraged to do so, that we should not give up on our efforts to curb the effects of spreading and that kind of thing. So it's really crazy to think that I mean, you look at the news, you look at anything else that's going on right now, and even the transfer of power, it's like it's very difficult to not get kind of bound up in the tumultuous experience that we're having right now as a country. And I really think having a focus on humanizing other people in 2021 is going to be extremely important. Like, a person is more than one idea they have or one stance they hold. While that's really difficult to do, because if that seems kind of polar opposite to how you hold your place values, it can be really, it's worth pursuing, because the more that people try to differentiate themselves from people that they think are different than them, the worse off we're going to be. And the easier it will be to fall victim to misinformation or disinformation campaign.
Right.
So I will encourage everybody to actually have a conversation with people that you disagree with or think differently from, and not do that online. Try to do that over phone call, in a way that's more interactive and in the moment, because what you'll find is you can be much more empathetic and caring and considerate toward other people than exchanging a bunch of text messages over Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Well, and because of the like political climate in our country, or even more beyond that, like the cultural divides in our country, that of the views towards this pandemic, there's a lot of differences of opinions, and a lot of that for some people has been washed away for the people who have really been affected by it. But there's a lot of people still who are very resilient to this pandemic being a reality, to the vaccine's effectiveness, to you know, the government oversight of it. And I think it's really important that we don't give, or that it's really important that we give our fellow Americans and other people in our community a chance to talk about why they believe certain things without like jumping to conclusions.
What do you think is going to be, and this is purely speculative because you and I aren't in control of social media platforms or anything. What do you think? But what do you think can be
done?
We
should be right.
Totally. We are majority shareholders in Facebook and Instagram and TikTok.
God.
But what do you think can be done from a singular person's standpoint to be able to have some of those conversations without everybody getting their information from the same spot? Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges that we have, is we're not even disagreeing on the same information. We're disagreeing on different information from different sources.
Right.
And so, like, do you have any thoughts around what that could look like? Or
well, it's like trying to have an argument in two different languages. It's just like, it's completely non-productive and nobody understands each other.
Sure.
So fun fact, I had a recent discussion with my brother, my older brother, and there was a lot of disagreement and we were really not coming from the same place. But at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, we got to kind of like the core of what was bothering us, or the core of like what our disagreement was. And we started talking about that. And then we started acknowledging things about our differences, and we actually, it was a pretty heated conversation, which I know you're not supposed to, you know, you're supposed to try to keep emotion at a low level, because that tends to escalate, you know, back and forth until it goes and might, you know, spiral out of control. But we ended up like hugging afterwards, because we were just like, we got to a point of a really good understanding. And we realized, you know, that our disagreements really weren't that different.
What do you think?
Oh,
I just asked, what do you think led to that? Like, what led to that point? Was it like, okay, let's come to an agreement that we care about each other? Or was it like you actually decided that you both were making good points, or like what?
So we got to the core of why we disagreed. So understanding why my brother felt the way he did. Because on the surface, it looked like something completely different. And we were actually arguing about something completely different. We found out the disagreements we had were very much derived from something else. And maybe using a sibling isn't really the best.
I think it's a good example.
I guess because you do it, a lot of people will have disagreements with their family members, but what I learned from that, it was you really need to understand why someone believes, or you need to completely empathetically put yourself in their spot and ask them and understand why they feel the way they do about these things. Because if you just argue about the facts, you will literally spend an infinite amount of time trying to get them straight between each other, and that doesn't go anywhere. It's like a dog chasing his tail.
I can't think of any discussions that I've had with anyone where presenting a bunch of facts changed anyone's mind.
Right. That even stems into arguments about the facts and it usually divulges off into another discussion that has nothing to do with the original discussion or the problem at hand.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, family is family, and you only get one family, or you get another family if you get married to someone, but they're all family. And by just getting to the root of why people have their opinions or their grievances or whatever it is so important to understand. It is so important for yourself in communicating with said person, and hopefully they do the same back to you, because that will produce understanding.
Sure.
Even if there's still disagreement.
Totally. Yeah, I think sometimes people will disagree or argue about things that they're kind of two separate topics, but they are masquerading as the same thing.
Exactly.
Cool.
How about yourself? Do you have any specific examples or any suggestions?
Examples of how those conversations have been navigated, or
just how we move forward into 2021 in talking with our friends and family and kind of reconciling all of this craziness that's happened in the past couple of years.
I think
not just the pandemic.
There's been a pretty solid thread between a lot of episodes that we've done about being more curious instead of making statements about things. And I think a way forward is to try to understand other people than try to get your point across. And so if the first step that you make is understanding why someone feels the way that they feel about what they think and how they feel, that can be a really good opportunity to get them to stop in their tracks and think, wait, I'm not defending myself right now. Somebody legitimately wants to know why I think what I think or how I feel the way I feel, then that can be an opened door to having at least a conversation about, okay, you've said these things, but maybe you mean, or not even going in with any sort of speculation, but just going in and saying okay, well, you say this, tell me more about that. Where did you hear that? How has that information been useful for you? Or, asking questions that are not accusatory, where it's like, how dare you believe that? You're a fool. You're an idiot. You don't get your information from where I get my information. And understanding why, you know, like, why do you go back to that same place to get information? Is it because you trust them? Is it because you think it's entertaining? Do you think we should all find information that we agree upon? I think that's going to be the biggest challenge that we face within the next decade is how can we all agree upon a certain amount of information? This is not to say that I think information should be regulated and controlled and all that kind of stuff by the government. People should be silenced and all this kind of stuff. But I think people should be, they should be aware of how certain platforms are actively trying to manipulate you. They want your attention. They want you to stay on the platform. It has nothing to do with like, we condone this information. We suggest this information to you because like YouTube or Facebook or whatever it might be. And I'm not singling any particular one out, but what you've clicked on and what you spend time on is what it thinks you like. And it's agnostic to what that might be. And so I think for everybody to just understand where you get your information from is not indicative of it being a fact, and that people need to think critically for themselves that, does this even make sense to me? There's a suggestion, and I'll talk more about this in our Be Kind, but it has to do with your ability to kind of rationalize and think through some of those positions with people that are, you know, driven by conspiracy theories or are unfounded in any sort of fact. It's more speculation or opinion or whatever it might be. So that I know I didn't really provide a really good way of thinking about this, but I think those are definitely challenges that we'll face, and I think there are a lot of smart people that can come up with good ways to address them and to invest effort into understanding other people and why they think the way they think is going to be a worthwhile endeavor.
Right. Because that's, Lord knows, in the coming months and years, there's going to be a lot of come to Jesus moments, I think, in our friends and family groups. But I thought you did a really good job of explaining that, Ryan.
Well, sometimes
made sense to me anyway.
The suggestion is more of like getting us to think about topics rather than providing solutions, and it's really, that's something that I think is been a place where I've grown a lot over the course of my adult life, is not trying to always come up with a solution to things, but rather looking at it from the perspective of like, oh, well, maybe understanding something more is better than trying to fix it. So,
right.
Well, do you want to, exactly. Do you have anything else you want to add before we take a break and come back with the Be Kind?
No, I think this was a good goodbye. A good goodbye. To the year. A good goodbye.
All right.
To the year
2020. Well, we'll be back in just a minute. It's time to be kind in the last day of 2020.
I kid you not, I was about to sing that exact phrase.
Yes.
But you stole it from me.
It's exactly the way that we should have done it.
That was beautiful.
Well, for the Be Kind today, I alluded to it a little bit ago when we were doing our discussion, but have you ever heard of a straw man argument?
No. Actually,
so straw man is basically like you're poking holes in the way that someone is kind of like thinking about something. So you try to find the week, like, more like the weak points of someone's argument. So it's basically like, you're replacing their argument with something else, essentially. Let's see. I can't think of like any really good examples off the top of my head. Okay, cool. I just went on Google to find something. So this could be an example. This person says we should relax the laws on beer, and B says, no, any society with unrestricted access to intoxicants loses its work ethic and goes only for immediate gratification. The original proposal was to relax laws on beer, but the other person has misconstrued or misrepresented this proposal by responding to it as if it had been unrestricted access to intoxicants. So it's basically like taking someone's argument and like conflating it to something else. But the thing that I wanted to bring to everyone is called steel manning, which is basically that this is a really good way to have conversations with people who have kind of latched on to conspiracy theory. And it's basically that you're trying to understand their argument or their position better than they do. And so this requires some research. And what you'll do is you basically just try to explain to them what they think out loud. Sometimes hearing it from someone else and showing that you're invested enough to consider what they think and what they say as being valid can help. So you basically want to list any points of agreement that you have with a person, especially if they're not matters of general or widespread agreement. Mention anything that you've learned from what you've researched. So like, oh, I didn't know this about this topic. And then after you've explained all that stuff, that's the only time that you're really allowed to say anything of rebuttal or criticism. So it's kind of taking it as, it's more of like an improved form of showing the other person a mirror to their own beliefs rather than contradicting or trying to argue it. So I guess more of what this is just a way to, this is not a way to win an argument. I'm not saying that. I'm more suggesting that investing time into understanding something is better, and it shows the other person that holds something that you probably disagree with or you could potentially disagree with that you have looked into and understand their position rather than just saying like you're a fool for believing that or whatever it might be.
It makes it less of a fight.
Sure.
Doesn't put people on the defensive.
Totally. I heard about that and learned about that a few weeks ago, and I thought it was a relevant and helpful thing to use in today's information overload environment.
Agreed.
Do you have anything that you want to add or any?
I think you said that quite well. I think a lot of us, many of us, especially millennials, have those family members and mostly older family members that have a lot of very conflicting opinions. And that's a good thing for us to tap into in order to understand where they're coming from and maybe help them understand that they're wrong. Just kidding. But yeah,
at least get them to think critically about what they're consuming.
Whatever their conclusion is, it's a chance for someone to kind of reevaluate,
right?
Including ourselves.
Totally.
Shall we move on to the recommendation?
Yeah, but one other thing that I wanted to say is just take a minute in 2021 and be nice to other people. Be kind. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Assume benevolent intent. Somebody says something that's rude or mean, it can be very easy to take it personally, and often we misconstrue what other people are saying, and I think the ownership is on both people, but that's something that I would encourage everybody to do. There's an extreme amount of stress that people are facing right now, and even into 2021, it'll continue at least for a while, and so have some patience and some grace, and yeah, share kindness with other people whenever you can. And yeah, we'll be back in just a minute with our recommendation.
Indeed. I can see clearly now, the year is gone.
I can see all the obstacles in my way.
So, for...
but we've fallen over all the obstacles and we've bruised our knee. It's going to be a bright sunshiny 2021. Jim, I'm excited. What is the recommendation for this week?
So I actually didn't get too creative with the food because there is no food recommended on the eve of 2020.
It is only champagne that we recommend for 2020.
Some Dom Perignon. Actually, if you just get French champagne, actually, that's the only way to celebrate. I know, right. Money may be tight, but you have to get French champagne.
Yeah.
No, I was going to recommend for today that we all watch the holiday special from John Krasinski's Some Good News. It is a highlight reel with Dwayne Johnson, George Clooney, Justin Timberlake, among others, where good things that happened in the year 2020 are brought to light and celebrated. And I think if you've never checked out his channel, which he, you know, most of what he was doing was during the shelter in place orders, but those episodes, you can watch one after the other. He made quite a few of them during that time, and it's so like heartwarming, and it gives you the chills, like how many awesome things happen. Like the Hamilton cast did a Zoom call to this 10-year-old girl who, like, her dream was to go see Hamilton, but it got canceled because of the pandemic. Things like thoughts shared from the astronauts at the International Space Station, like old people getting assistance from the community. It's full of like really cool things, and it shows, really brings to light like the good things that we humans are capable of in times of craziness and trouble.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard of it. I've watched Some Good News. Catherine and I watched it quite a bit, but I have not seen, I don't know if she watched it, but I have not seen the most recent holiday special.
It's 23 minutes and it is on YouTube. And they made it a week ago.
Nice. I'm excited to check it out.
But it warms the heart and eases the soul.
Yeah, which we all need.
Indeed. And I just wanted to kind of like point out a couple of things that I am very thankful for in this year. And one of them, a very important one, is that we managed to crank out not just one, but three versions of a very promising vaccine for this virus in just, I mean, what was that, 8-7 short months? Like, that is almost unheard of in the medical community to be able to do that. A lot of time and effort and money was put into that, and it's showing promise. And I'm, you know, that this political election was kind of rocky, but holy cow, it was so uplifting to see how many Americans turned out to vote this year. I know, you know, if you're the
that kind of a turnout every election,
right?
Moving forward,
exactly. Like, it, democracy worked and worked well this year. And in addition to that, it's heartening to see how many watchdog agencies and oversight agencies kind of were resilient against a lot of the controversial moves this year too. I mean, it's no secret that our sitting president right now, you know, pushed those bounds, and he pushed them hard, very hard.
Still is, yeah.
Still is. And it gives me hope that, you know, we are stronger as a nation than a lot of people may allude that we are. I'm really thankful for the very obvious one, that we just elected the first woman to the executive office. I mean, she's Kamala Harris's vice president. And she's an African American, Asian American woman. Like, we got us. It was like a demographic that has not been represented at all in the executive power in our history. And
that's
suddenly,
so awesome.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Goes to show that opportunity presented to people can be seized, and they can be understood and appreciated as the best person for that, you know, office or role, and that kind of transcends any sort of physical description that you could assign anyone.
Yeah, like, you're that mold has been broken. It's no longer taboo or seen as impractical. It's a reality.
Yep.
And I'm really happy and excited for the space things that have happened this year. The places that SpaceX is going, the Blue Origins and Virgin Galactic. And I'm excited to see where we not only as a nation, but as a people move forward in our exploration of space.
Yeah, don't forget about our Kickstarter that we...
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Gemini Space Industries. Yeah, if you just want to hop over to that page, and, you know, any donation works.
As long as it's over $4,000 or $5,000.
Yeah, you know, that's a small gift. That's a small gift. If you want to be our premium ultra deluxe subscriber.
Our tier one.
Tier one. Platinum, gold.
Iridium.
Class, you have to, it's very, very low price of $999.99
for the
low price. And you can get that, and you'll have instant access to our daily updates of our endeavor.
Don't forget to tell your friends and family and people on the street that you encounter.
Right.
Share the link.
But, Ryan, how about you? Any other highlights from 2020 you want to share?
Yeah. Well, just to kind of echo what you said about Kamala Harris, I mean, that's just such a monumental, exciting, wonderful event to elect somebody to that office that is more representative of a lot of people live in the United States. You know, I think sometimes it's very easy to from people's perspective to say, like, well, if I look this way, then everyone looks this way or experiences life the same way. And I think it's really just an example to say, not only is she extremely qualified for the position, but it's just long overdue. I think it'll encourage people of all races, ethnicities, genders, sexes to pursue things that they may not have otherwise thought possible. And that's really exciting to me. The other is, I mean, of course, a highlight for this year is Catherine and I got engaged. So next year we're getting married, which is very
So
exciting.
exciting.
And I mean, to go back to what I said during the discussion is I'm just really thankful that, a lot of friends and family have been safe and healthy throughout the pandemic, and I hope that continues. And I have a lot of hope for 2021, mainly because the alternative is not great, but also that this year has shown a lot of courage and resilience from a lot of people. Especially a shout out to all of our healthcare workers, especially nurses, because they've bared the brunt of a lot of the care for especially patients that are in hospital care and people that aren't able to be with their loved ones and things like that throughout the holidays this year. Like there just have been a lot of things that it's very easy to feel discouraged and frustrated and lonely and all those different kinds of things. But we do have the tools now that we don't have to be so far away from each other. And while we would like to be right next to each other and enjoying a meal or a drink or a conversation with other people that we care about, we do have the availability to do those things online, in lieu of a more preferred in-person interaction. And while it's not optimal or the best, it is still something that would not have been available 15, 20 years ago at the capacity that it is now. So I think there is something to be very appreciative of in that respect. Beyond that, I mean, everything that you said, spot on. I don't know if I have really anything else to add. I'm looking forward to the future, and I think there will be a lot of good things coming up. And I'm very proud and thankful for our friendship and for the podcast. And I'm very happy for you that you completed nursing school and that you're a certified nurse now. And there are just a lot of things in that respect to be thankful for. And yeah, I'm excited to see what 2021 has in store. And I think we've all seen what 2020 has brought and that we all want to have the men in black come by our house and flash that little beam of light in front of our face and have us forget. But there are a lot of things that are memorable that we would want to. So,
Agreed. Well said, Ryan.
do you have
Thank you.
anything else that you would like to add before we conclude for this year?
See ya, 2020.
Sayonara, sucker. No, but on a serious note, everybody have a safe and happy new year, and we will be back in 2021 with more of the podcast.
And I would be absolutely ashamed if I never said this, Ryan. But I'll see you next year.
See you next year. All right, take care, everybody. We'll see you soon.